we're pleased to have Brother Darcy with us again this morning. And his lesson for today is entitled, As He Thinketh. As He Thinketh.
Thank you, Brother Harry. Good morning again, brethren. We spoke to my folks last night, and they asked if we would remember to again extend their love to the convention, and we're happy to do that. And we're told that repetition is good, and so the Lord has arranged that many of the citations we have and many of the scripture references have already been brought out in this convention. So that is the Lord's arranging for this consideration. The scriptures tell us that Jehovah thinks about us. Psalms 40, verse 17. The Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. And Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Man was created with the ability to think and to reason. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. We recognize this likeness to God to be a mental and a moral likeness. If we are in his mental likeness, we see that the statement, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, makes sense. And he is here in Isaiah 1:18, directing us to do that very thing. Let us consider what it means to reason, to think, especially about our God and his plan. Webster defines reason as the power of comprehending and inferring, the ability to trace out the implications of a combination of facts or suppositions, intellect, to talk or discourse persuasively in order to induce a change of opinion or conduct or the like, to use one's reason as a characteristic act in a particular instance, to attempt to arrive at a conclusion through induction, deduction, or a combination of these. Or we might say, to use our mental abilities to think upon, to contemplate a subject. So Webster defines think as to form or formulate in the mind, to have the thought, notion, or image of, to conceive, imagine, to have in one's mind as an intention or desire, to propose, to hope, to have a judgment or opinion of, to entertain a view of, to esteem, to meditate or reflect upon, to let revolve in one's mind, to consider, to bring before one's mind clearly, as by imagining, recalling, conjecturing, to devise mentally, to think out, to believe in or assume the existence of, to center one's thoughts on, to have one's mind full of, to have or comprehend the thoughts characteristic of a race, a class, etc., as to talk or think airplanes, to learn to think African. Now, this last definition is very appropriate for the Lord's people. To center one's thoughts on, to have one's mind full of, to have or comprehend the thoughts, characteristics of our God. This is part of what Paul is suggesting in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To divide, to reason, to think upon, to consider, to contemplate. To center upon, to have one's mind full of, and thus to comprehend the thoughts and characteristics of our God, His Son, and His plan. From reprint 2890, mankind in general does too little thinking. And what it does do is more or less upon line, improper lines, and built upon false basis or premises. Words are power in the world, but only in proportion as they awaken thoughts that lead to actions. Words, thoughts, deeds is the order. If he thinks, truly did the wise man say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If he thinks justly, he will speak and act justly. If his thoughts are selfish and ignoble, his words will be deceitful and his conduct dishonest. The Lord appeals to the power of the mind through His Word and urges upon His people that they be transformed by the renewing of their minds. And, come, let us reason together. To the extent anyone violates the divine directive, they have not their senses exercised by reason of use. Hebrews 5:13-14. Thinking may be a very dangerous matter in the absence of absolute knowledge upon which to base and exercise our reasoning facilities. But the Lord has protected His faithful along this line by providing us, in His Word, with the proper basis for reasoning on all subjects involving our duty to our Creator and our fellow creatures. The Scriptures lay down certain broad lines and invite God's people to reason within these lines of revelation. And by reasoning, thus to taste and see that God is gracious, and to come to a clearer knowledge of Him, a better understanding of His character and His plan. Wherever the Bible has gone, it has been the torch which has led civilization. Millions have profited with its enlightening influence, though only comparatively few walk closely to its light within its prescribed limitations of reason and conduct. And these few are the true Christians. Each may learn to weigh and balance his own thoughts, to curb some and to encourage others. But to do this, each must have before him an ideal of character to be copied. Thoughts can be controlled just as words and actions can be controlled. The will is at the helm and must decide which thoughts and sentiments it will entertain and encourage and which it will repel. It is necessary, therefore, first of all, for the will to be rightly directed, and secondly, to be strong and to use its power in the control of thought, in the curbing of those thoughts which it recognizes as evil, and in encouraging and stimulating those which it recognizes as good, helpful, and beneficial. The will, in the Scriptures called the heart, is therefore continually appealed to by the Lord as He now seeks amongst men for His peculiar people. The message is, my son, give me thy heart, thy will. This request is not addressed to the willful sinners, for they are not recognized and addressed as sons of God. The heart, the will given over to God, seeks to know the divine will, to catch the divine thought and to obey it in word and act. And in proportion as this condition of the new mind is attained, in that same proportion, the will there in the same proportion, there will begin to be a newness of life in every respect. It is for this reason that the revelation of the divine will and plan is furnished to believers. That by growing in the knowledge of it, by thinking on these things, by filling the mind with the divine will and plan, the transforming influence may extend into every avenue of life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Once complied with, Romans 12, 1 and 2 means the question of what to think on is already answered for the Lord's people. We must reason or think upon that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To know and understand our Father, His plan, and His wisdom. Volume 6, page 97. All of any intelligence are seeking for further knowledge and wisdom. Even those who take the most foolish courses as a rule take them in following paths which do not appear to them at the time to be unwise ones. It was thus with Mother Eve. She longed for knowledge and wisdom. And the very fact that the forbidden tree seemed to be a gateway to wisdom constituted her temptation to obedience, disobedience to her Creator. How necessary then is a wise counselor to guide us in wisdom's ways of pleasantness and through her paths of peace. And if Mother Eve, even in her perfection, needed a wise guide, how much more do we, her fallen, imperfect children? Our Heavenly Father foresaw all of our needs, that our wisdom would not be sufficient for us, that the wisdom of the adversary and his deluded followers would be exercised to our injury, to make that light appear darkness and darkness light. Hence the provision that Christ is to be our wisdom. James 3:17. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Webster defines wisdom as quality of being wise, ability to judge soundly and deal shrewdly with facts, especially as they relate to life and conduct. Knowledge with the capacity to make due use of it, perception of the best ends and the best means, discernment and judgment, discretion. Now, we were surprised to find that Webster defines wisdom as Jesus and also as God. And the scriptures confirm this. Isaiah 11, 1-3. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Romans 12:2 tells us that our minds are to be transformed to the will and thus the wisdom of God. So, where do we find this wisdom? Philippians 4:9 tells us, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Are we then to dwell on all the wonderful things that we can find about us? Certainly this would be better than contemplating those things that are evil. But we must do more. We must focus, being much more specific and directed in our thinking. Seeking for it other than through God's prescribed way, it will not be found. Ecclesiastes 8:16 and 17. when I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek to find it out, he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet he shall not be able to find it. Jesus said in Matthew 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures. This is the source from God. This is the only place we find the plan of God. This is where His wisdom is found. Acts 17:2. And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them and reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And verse 11, these, the Bereans, were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. They thought or reasoned on them. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And Romans 16:25-26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Christ Jesus according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the Scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. It's made known to all nations, but only a few understand it. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. From a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And 1 Corinthians 2:6-16. Howbeit we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world know, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit of God searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thus the Scriptures are the source of this wisdom from above. As Paul said, we are to compare spiritual things with spiritual. But it is only available to those consecrated, spirit-begotten children of God. What is the effect of thinking on these things? Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible very properly uses the heart as the center of life, as a symbol of the center of our affections, including the will. Our will has to do with everything that we do. Whoever of the Lord's people wills to seek more and more to purify himself becomes more and more alive. If we are pure in heart, we resolve to live righteously and soberly in the present life. Whoever appreciates the principle that right is right and wrong is wrong will desire to live right. The church, having accepted God's terms, have made a consecration of our lives to Him. We have engaged to fight a good fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are under special obligations as new creatures. Our hopes and ambitions are separate from those of the world. We are therefore doubly responsible in respect to our heart, which of course represents our inmost sentiments. If our thoughts are not according to our ideals, we should endeavor to make them so. The cleansing, the sanctifying, comes not merely through the reading of the truth or the mental appreciation of the truth, but through the heart, thinking on the truth. This heart thinking, these deep resolutions, are ours as Christians and are to be guided by certain principles. These have to do with the real man whom God is considering. Not the old creature, more or less blemished according to the degree of depravity. God looks at the new creature. These deep heart convictions and purposes constitute a transformation of character. This is the man's real condition, and so is he. As a new creature, we are to watch our words, our thoughts, our actions. If a transitory wrong thought should pass through our mind, it would not be the thought of our heart. And as new creatures, we should stop it. Get rid of it. So that it may not take root in our heart and choke out the better sentiments. This right thinking of the heart has very much to do with the whole life. We show our loyalty to God by giving attention to His Word, that we may know what is His will. The more we study God's Word, the more we receive the Spirit of the truth, and the more we appreciate it. And in proportion as we understand God's regulations and desire to be guided by them, the more we think, consider, contemplate, meditate upon them, our hearts will become purified. Then the more care shall be taken of our hands, what they shall do, and of our tongues, what they shall say. Thus we shall keep our hearts and submit our wills to God. The will is a part of the heart, just as the rudder is part of a ship. The new will is the rudder to steer us this way or that. The more we understand the word of the Lord, the better we understand how to guide our lives. Therefore, we are to keep our hearts and purify them by the knowledge of God's truth, the study of God's truth. To do this, the will must ever be on the alert, watching with prayer and thanksgiving. Reprint 52:46. In the word of truth, the heart is used to represent the will, the true desires of the individual, in contradistinction to the intellect or purely reasoning portion of the individual. And we are responsible for both. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 8:2. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet, as he ought to know. Galatians 6:3-5. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, for every man shall bear his own burden. What is the purpose of this thinking and its associated growth? Proverbs 23:23-26. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Is it to please our Father? Ecclesiastes 1:13-15. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Is it to gain knowledge of the travail or the exceeding sinfulness of sin? Proverbs 1:2-9. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Is it to gain knowledge and grace? Proverbs 2:1-11. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Is it to receive understanding, reverence, wisdom, protection, and direction for that which proceeds out of our mouths? Proverbs 3:13-23. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life unto them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that findeth her. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Then thou shalt walk in the way safely, and thou shalt not stumble. Is it to get length of days, riches, pleasantness, peace, life, happiness, safety, with no stumbling? Proverbs 4:15-13. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Is it for preservation, promotion, honor, greatness, a crown of glory, and of life? Someone may ask, why should we do these things? In a general way, we might answer that we may do right, because right is right. But that reason is not sufficient for us. While all appreciate the superiority of right over wrong, yet in our fallen condition, we need to have some inducements to our actions. So the Lord put certain inducements before us. He says, if your heart is right, I desire to give you everlasting life. If your heart is wrong, then you will not be of the kind to whom I will grant this. It is our Heavenly Father who says, I will put you into the school of Christ, where you will learn righteousness. Day by day, we are learning in this school of Christ. Our different experiences are part of the general instructions for those who love righteousness and who desire to be taught of God. To be pleasing to the Master, we are to keep our hearts free from every form of evil. If this be done, the heart is rightly instructed of the Lord. We are to have clearly before our minds the fact that the ultimate object of all divine dealings with us and for us is the development of love, which is God-likeness, because God is love. That this love may be developed in us in the sense and to the degree intended by the Lord, it must come from a pure heart, in full accord with the Lord and His law of love. To have this kind of love in its proper development, there must be a good conscience, well regulated by the Scriptures. Therefore, the study of God's Word is very important. Meditation upon God's law is also necessary. We must recognize the fact that there are divine commands with principles behind them, and that these principles are to be incorporated into our characters. In other words, we are to have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. Philippians 4:4-9. I always think of Brother Ed Borwick. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. whatsoever things are true. This is the first question to be asked respecting any matter. Is it true or is it false? If it is false, the Lord's people are to have nothing whatever to do with it, no matter how beautiful. Love of the truth lies at the very foundation of saintship. And we remember that our Lord declares through the apostle that those who will be rejected and stumbled are those who receive not the truth in the love of it, such as have pleasure in unrighteousness, untruth. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. With our poor and at very best imperfect brains, there is great danger of our being misled. And hence the word of the Lord appeals to us with force that we should not even touch that which we realize to be untrue. This does not mean that we may not weigh and balance evidences to discern the truth from the untruth. But it does mean that as soon as the truth is discovered, it will be embraced and acknowledged, and the untruth as vigorously disavowed and completely withdrawn from. This will mean an increased reverence for whatsoever things are true, an increased devotion to them, an increase for the time for their study, an increase of the spirit of truth in our hearts as a result of this. Along these lines, we must be very careful that we are studying to learn and to know the truth and not to prove what we believe to be the truth. There's a big difference. Whatsoever things are honest. The truth of a thing is only one of the tests to which it must be put. We may find a matter to be true and yet not find it to be worthy of our thought, dishonorable. Who does not know that there are dishonorable and dishonoring thoughts, the pondering of which not only wastes valuable time, but instead of bringing a reward, a blessing for the time spent on them, entails a loss, a disadvantage, in that it leaves a dishonorable stain in our minds. Unworthy of us as new creatures. The entertaining of those thoughts, the pondering of them, will be unfavorable to us. And the sooner we discern the matter and dismiss them, the better, the happier, the more noble will be our hearts. The dismissing of these unworthy thoughts will leave us the opportunity and the energy, if we will, to expand that much more time upon whatsoever things are not only true, but also honorable, worthy of our attention. Whatsoever things are just. Here we have another limitation. Our minds are to be occupied in thinking about righteous or just principles. We are not to be continually meditating upon grievances and injustices, either real or imagined. We are to remember that hereunto we were called, even to endure injustice for righteousness' sake, and yet to be evil spoken of, and to be misunderstood, and to have all manner of evil said against us falsely, for Christ's sake. We are therefore not to think it strange of the fiery trials that shall surely come upon all who are of the royal priesthood. But rather, having settled this in matter in advance, when we made our consecration, we are to take it as it comes, as a matter of course. And thus doing, we will have more time to give to thinking of the more helpful, the more strengthening, the more elevating things. The things that are just. The things that are in harmony with righteousness, respecting past, the present, and the future, as promised in the Lord's Word. Whatsoever things are pure. There is a vast amount of impurity everywhere throughout the world. It therefore behooves the Lord's consecrated people to follow the Apostle's injunction and carefully strain out those impurities, and to see that they do not enter into our hearts and our thoughts. Realizing that with them in, the result will be to work out defilement to a greater or less degree. Whoever maintains purity of thought will have comparatively little effort in maintaining purity of word and of action. Whether the impurity comes from one direction or another, from the world, the flesh, or the devil, its attack must first be upon the mind. And if repelled there, the victory is won. If not repelled, we cannot know the consequences, what those consequences would be. As the Apostle James declares, lust or selfish desire of any kind, when it is conceived in the mind, bringeth forth sin, develops sinful words and actions. And when sin is finished, bringeth forth death. James 1:15. No wonder then the Apostle mentions the necessity for our thoughts being guarded along the line of purity. And if a matter were ever so well established as truth and involved no injustice and even were not dishonorable, yet were impure, this would be quite sufficient to condemn it as unworthy of the minds of the Lord's consecrated people. Nor is it to be overlooked that any smut or impurity entering into the mind may cause such defilement as will give trouble in its complete eradication, not only at that time, but for years to follow. Whatsoever things are lovely. The saints are exhorted to be meek and peacemakers. But in order to be thus, they must have amiable thoughts, lovely and lovable thoughts, kind thoughts, gentle thoughts. This in turn will gradually develop into graces of character. We are to think upon subjects, not to think upon subjects gendering anger and hatred and strife, vexatious thoughts and quarrelsome thoughts, vindictive thoughts. These are all to be shunned as enemies of the new creature. And instead, we are to think upon the beautiful things, the amiable things we know of respecting our neighbors and our friends. Even though we may not be able to fully close our eyes against their injustices or evil deeds, we may at least refuse to waste valuable time in thinking about their weaknesses, and thus cultivating unamiable, quarrelsome dispositions in ourselves. Whatsoever things are of good report. It may be argued by some that since the world hateth the light and the children of the light, and rejoiceth in iniquity and getting advantage over others, therefore those things which would be reputable with it would not be the holy things suitable to the thoughts of God's people. But the pastor says, not so. The world does recognize to a considerable extent a right standard, even though it does not follow that standard, or even attempt to do so. Even though it hates those who see, it sees who are endeavoring to walk up to that standard, and even calls them hypocrites and crucifies them, as it did our Lord. It's policy and false religion that generally exercise such religious persecution. Nevertheless, if anyone will follow the standard that is reputable and think upon these things, he will find a blessing therein. Now there is one thing, and one thing only, which fully combines all of the above propositions and demonstrates itself to be the one thing true, honorable, just, pure, lovely. And that is the divine character and plan. Let us think upon its various features. Let us study the divine word and behold through it as a telescope the beauty of the divine character, the splendor of the divine plan as revealed in God's word, whose lengths and breadths and heights and depths no man can measure. And only the saints can properly comprehend through the Holy Spirit. And in proportion, as we receive the Holy Spirit, the holy mind, the holy thoughts, and replacing and displacing the unholy thoughts and sentiments of the natural man, we will develop that Christ-like character. Thus, what a splendid premium the Lord places upon the study of His Word in the esteem of all those of this class who are addressed by the Apostle. Such a ruling of the mind is a conquest. Such a self-mastery, a victory. The greatest victory that can be gained. As the Scriptures declare, he that ruleth his spirit or mind is better than he that taketh a city. Proverbs 16:32. And the prescription given by the Apostle for the mental health of the saints is the very sole discipline necessary to our development and character to the degree pleasing to God and acceptable through Jesus Christ our Lord. As the Apostle exhorts, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith, until he shall become the finisher of it. Hebrews 12:1-2. Remembering that he who is on our part and who is engaged to help us and carry us through every difficulty and to fully instruct us if we submit ourselves to him is Jesus, who loved us enough to give his life for us. Well do the Scriptures generally enforce the importance of guarding the mind, the will, the heart, saying, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. Neglecting it, refusing to exercise self-control, means the permission of selfish desires to be conceived in our brains and to lead away from the Lord and his narrow way toward sin, toward the wages of sin, death, second death. 1 Corinthians 1:24-30. Unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and deliverance. Ephesians 1:6-9. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded unto us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. And Ephesians 1:17-19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. In Colossians 1:9-12, we desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And Colossians 2, 2 and 3, that your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and knowledge. So in closing, brethren, let us remember James 1, 5 and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And you remember the rest. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Darcy. The battle is in our minds. We have to take and maintain control. And I appreciate Brother Darcy bringing out that the only thing that meets all the specifications laid down in Philippians 4:8